Welcome back to another episode of the Arcana Archives, a deep dive into nerddom. It's time to bear with me, your host Chelsea, as I do another incredibly awkward intro. My fun fact about myself this week is that I just learned that expiry dates don't always mean that the food is expired, and there's no regulations, so your best way to know if a food is expired is to eat it, is to smell it, not eat it, after it has, quote, expired. With me today, I have my co-host, Rogan, and back by popular request, Colin, for another episode on Warhammer. You guys should give your fun facts, because, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Half of the instruments in my studio are about 10 years older than me.
That's a good fact.
And on to Colin.
Fun fact about Colin today is that he can talk like an orc when he wants to, and he's going to be able to pick this up for about the length of his fun fact. We're going to talk about the Umis today, and I'm going to need you to pay attention.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
So good.
On to Professor Colin to talk about the Umis.
I really hope when you're DMing for D&D, you do voices.
I do a lot of voices.
That's amazing. Oh,
beautiful. That's the best part of DMing, honestly.
You guys are absolute legends. That was hilarious. I'm living for it.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on the show. So I heard that you guys wanted to talk about another race in the Warhammer 40K universe. Is by far the most popular out of all the races. They are, in all essences, the mascot of Games Workshop's franchise of Warhammer 40,000 as the super soldiers of space. Now, ooh. I've got a whole bunch of information on them. And, of course, with everything fantasy and sci-fi, we can get way into it, which I love with this podcast. And to do an intro to Space Marines and the Arcana Archives, I'm going to go through how we pick who we want to make into Space Marines, what's a Space Marine, where are they from, and then how to make one. So
nice. Yes, I'm so excited. I love
lay
our,
it on me.
I love our deep dives.
Beautiful. So in all essence, the Adeptus Astartes, the Space Marines, the Emperor's Finest, the Angels of Death go by many names, right? All of the names spell death to the enemy. They possess terrifying speed, strength, resilience, and are genetically engineered super soldiers whose humanity has been sacrificed to uphold the banner of humanity throughout the galaxy. They are armor-cladded entities of pure fighting spirit. They bolster impenetrable armor, wield devastating weapons, and are able to speed into battle through dropships, tanks, transports, or out of the sky itself. They are tactically. They are flexible.
We're not cutting that.
And with their unshakable resolve, are the most deadly weapon that has ever been created in the history of the Imperium.
I don't know what's wrong with me, but all I want to do is say that they sound hot, so.
Well, from the out, we'll say distance beauty is a thing.
Okay.
we'll keep that. Keep that in the back of your mind here, Chelsea, and we'll address that again at the end.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Do you guys have any questions about what you want me to talk about? You want to just dive into where?
Yeah, we have a ton of questions, but I mean, if you have general information about the Space Marines, I'd love to have some context before I start asking you more specific questions.
Yeah.
Sure. So, starting out with, let's just go into recruitment. Spaceman recruits are not clones. They're taken and found on many of the millions of worlds in the Imperium's control throughout the galaxy. And they're taken as young adults, we'll say youngest ages 8 to 10 years is the ideal range for a Space Marine recruit. And they've got two traits that the Imperium is looking for when they're sort of sourcing out these humans to grab. And there could be you and me, people like you and me. They have to be specifically males, is the way that the ancient technology that the Emperor developed to implant the genetic augmentations to them work in this universe. There is a whole other faction of Space Marine-like super soldiers, and they're called the Sisters of Battle, and they all women, and they badass.
Yes! Oh my god, like, yeah. Amazons. That's amazing.
Like, damn, armored Amazons from space!
Okay, now I want to play Warhammer more than ever. That's the race I would pick.
You think of like a holy angel hot Avenger babe, that's...
Yes, okay.
That's Sisters of Battle right
this
there.
This is completely off topic, but I watched the new Space Jam movie yesterday, and the one takeaway I have is that they made Lola into an Amazon, so I'll leave you with that. I'm sorry, I had to say that. I had to get that out of my brain.
Perfect. I wanted to ask you guys what would you think would be the two most ideal traits when you're like looking for someone to be a representative of the highest level of military organization if you're a galaxy-wide civilization?
Tree trunks for legs.
Eats crayons and and is really hot.
All right, great, love it. But what we're really looking for here are probably people you wouldn't want to hang out with. Like, they're looking for people who are hyper aggressive and people who have a psychotic level killer instinct.
Whew. Yeah.
So when they're looking for recruits here, they're going to source out the harshest environments that have humanity on. They're going to look for the bottom of the barrel, guttural gangsters who live in the sewers of hive world cities. And they're going to go in, they're going to find these people, and they're just going to snatch them. Right? And through years and years and years of hard, hard training and trials and testing and genetically engineering and implanting organs into them, they're going to become the super soldier. That's one of the reasons they want them young, is so that they can have that psychological indoctrination. And when they're receiving these implants, they're not fully fledged organs, and they'll grow with the recruit as it passes through its trials.
Sounds almost like new Stormtroopers, like in the new trilogy.
There are, I don't want to downplay Stormtroopers, because Stormtroopers are guys like you and me, right? Now, there definitely is a conventional army in Warhammer, 100%. There's just billions of regular dudes, and they mm-hmm. form another faction of the Imperium called the Imperial Guard. And I'll leave most of the Imperial Guard talk to Evan, because he's passionate about a few of those guys. And he's got all the lore about the Imperial Guard humans, but...
Okay, Evan, when are you coming on our podcast to talk about Imperial lore?
We listened to a bit of mine, because he hadn't really listened to them before over the weekend, and he said they were pretty good. Nice. So I said, I would mention it to you, Chelsea, that he would love to be part of your podcast.
Okay, Evan, call me.
All right.
My people will talk to his people.
So, going into how do we make a Space Marine, throughout all this training here, this recruit, his body, obviously as a young adult, isn't fully grown, and neither are the implants. So they're grown off of tissue samples taken from the organs of fully fledged battle brothers, and aren't fully operational, so they need to develop as marine growths. So their implantation and installation order is crucial. Even once the organs are implanted, they're generally inactive or useless without the associated training and hypnotherapy or chemical treatment that will be received later throughout the years.
I'm imagining them with their eyes pinned open like in The Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, you can imagine them pinned back, like their arms are all pinned back, standing up. They're all hooked up the wires and they're inserting a whole bunch of stuff here. And the first thing that goes in is a secondary heart.
Oh, cool. They're like worms.
Simplest, most self-sufficient of implants allows a space marine to survive his other heart being damaged or destroyed, his original nature's grown heart, and can survive in low oxygen environments. It's not just a backup heart that they boost and work together in high intense situations to get that extra blood flow around the body.
I'm jealous.
Oh, yeah. Second one here is the os medulla, the iron heart, they call it. It's a small, complex, tubular-like organ, and it secretes hormones that both affect the ossification of a skeleton and encourages the forming of bone growths to absorb ceramic-based chemicals that are laced into a marine's diet that allow the marine's bones to grow exceptionally large and exceptionally more durable. It increases heat resistance, cold resistance. It drastically alters the way that the rest of their bones grow and develop. So around 2 years after they implant this, the subject's long bones will have increased in size. The rib cage will have been fused into a solid, bulletproof mass of interlocking plates.
Oof. Oh, dang.
It sounds painful.
Yeah. Oh, on that note, all of these implants are done with zero anesthesia and while the subject is awake.
Ow, why?
It's crucial for the space marine to undergo these augmentations while it's conscious. The Imperium works with helps with the psychotherapy of it, and it helps them understand, like, this is for the Emperor. Like, this is for my God.
Hmm. Oh, that makes sense.
Hell yeah. The third organ that they'll receive is a biscopia, a small circular organ inserted into the chest cavity, and it releases hormones that vastly increase muscle growth throughout the marine's body, and it will also serve to form the hormonal basis for many later implants that go in.
That kind of goes along the lines of what my first question was, is how beefy are these boys?
A fully grown space marine will stand roughly 7.5 feet tall.
Ooh.
Naked. In battle armor, they will be over 8-9 feet tall.
Whoa.
So if you're looking at your ceilings right now, his head's touching the top of that ceiling.
Whoa.
Just a massive, hulking, walking tank.
Those are some big boys.
Oh, yes.
Those beefy boys. Oh, wow.
Okay, so with all these organs added, are they still human?
They are. They are humans. They will be hardly recognizable. Their parents would obviously never recognize them or see them ever again.
Yeah.
And you would most likely not be able to tell them apart from what they used to look like before. Just they'll have so many scars and implants and tissues. Like, if you would to see him naked, we wouldn't recognize him.
Whoa.
They often have a cold, stoic expression as they walk and move around. They have fear literally removed from them through the process of creating a space marine here. And their pain sensors are cut to... I'd say 1% of their normal capacity to keep them functioning in combat. So, yes, they are human in a physical sense, but grabbing a serial killer with hyper-aggression and chucking him into a big walking tank suit, it'd be hard to find him human-like.
They're still human, but the humanity is gone?
Zero humanity left.
that pain sensors being reduced to 1% would be great for tattoos. I'd be down for that.
Oh, I know an orc who'd love to give a bunch of humans some permanent tattoos.
That voice is hilarious. So are there just the 3 organ implants, or were there more?
There are, is a total of 18 implants.
Holy
and
boy.
I got them all here.
Oh, wow.
But there are a couple exceptional implants that are reserved for other types of space marines. I'm going through the basic space marine implants. And you're thinking about it, space marines here, after all the stuff that they go through to become a space marine, the strongest thing humanity's been able to develop, a super soldier, it's still on par. I shouldn't say on par. I'm going to get a lot of hate in the comments for that. But through the masses of the galaxy, there are beings that are able to shred through a space marine like it's made of paper.
What?
There are weapons that will disintegrate a space marine. There are other humans who have a psychic level ability who are able to crush it like into a singularity of a black hole.
What?
Fun.
That's wild. Not the beefiest of boys, but quite a beefy boy.
I have a short story. There's another accredited YouTuber who does a beautiful job of Warhammer lores. Goes by the channel Baltimore. Give him a listen if you have a chance. He's an excellent narrator.
That's a great
and,
name.
Fan fiction writer. But he tells a story of where there was a human-seeded world that had been cut off by an energy in this universe called the warp. And it blocks all psychic and like electric communications to the inner and the outside of like a bubble, imagine. And it was finally found by a chapter called the Ultramarines. And they were going to bring it in. It was time to bring this world into the Imperium and make it part of its Ultramar system to support the Ultramarines chapter of Space Marines. And they were approximately musket level of intelligence at this point. And a company of Space Marines had crashed, and they were fighting. They obviously were fighting them and didn't, obviously, a human or aliens were coming to kill everybody. So one battle brother, a young one, went up to his captain and asked if he could show the enemy general some photos, and his wish was granted. So he alone walked into hundreds of musket soldiers. They were all lined up. One squatting rank, one kneeling, and then one standing, and they were all firing volleys at this space marine. Now, with him and his power armor and all of his cybernetic augmentations, there was little more than water off of a duck's back.
Whoa.
There, as he walked towards these enemy lines, and they were shaken that their volleys weren't doing anything, they brought out a few cannons, and one managed to hit him directly in the center of his power armor chest and not flew him back 20 feet. And there were large cheers. And then they were all instantly silenced as he just got up and continued walking forward. So
I literally got goosebumps. Like I'm not joking. I have goosebumps.
Yeah. They're truly, truly, like heroic figures. It would be, it would be amazing to be one as a human.
Yeah, you keep your humanity and get all those buffs.
Like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
But we'll keep going through the rest of the implants here. So there's another one. It's called the Heistaman, and it's implanted into the blood vessels and like the aorta or the femoral artery, and it alters the blood biochemical composition to carry more oxygen and nutrients more efficiently and effectively. They essentially change out regular human blood for super blood. These oxygen-carrying cells can make the marine's blood a brighter shade of red than normal because it generally has more oxygen in it. It also acts to regulate the actions of the other second and third gene seed implants, which were just talked about, the chest growing one and the
I guess that makes sense.
You skeleton need like, growing one.
You need like some kind of brain to manage all of this stuff.
The next organ is called the Lehrman's organ. It's shaped like a liver, but it's only about the size of a golf ball. This gene seed organ is placed in the chest cavity, and it manufactures the synthetic biological cells known as Lehrman cells. These serve the same physiological purpose for Enastartes as a normal human body's blood platelets would serve. So when you get a cut, the platelets come and they start clotting the blood and then form scar tissue. But with the power of these cells, this organ, that process becomes almost instantaneous.
Cool.
Clotting cut off limbs in mere seconds. That would normally cause a regular human to die of blood loss or pain.
Does that cause any problems internally? Like if you have too much clotting in a human, then it can lead to heart attacks or heart failure because you get like clots in your heart. I could be on drugs. I could be wrong about that, but does that cause any problems for the Space Marines, I guess?
I would have to say probably. I mean, if we're going to be realists here, but my fantasy Space Marines, they're invincible, I tell you.
Gotcha.
I got a little bit of a bias going here, but if I had to say, I'm sure that there's complications. But with all that they have going on, there's got to be part of their regulatory system that would maintain an inner and outer balance between where the platelets are going to which cells, and that's based on one of their last organs that they get put in.
Okay.
This next one I find to be probably the coolest because it's implanted into the back of the cerebellum in your brain, and it allows the Space Marine to turn half of it off at a time to sleep.
Like a dolphin.
Like a dolphin. A space dolphin.
A space dolphin. A beefy space dolphin.
You know what else is in the Marines? Dolphins.
Space dolphins. And it's gone on record that swapping back and forth between brains, one of the Crimson Fist Space Marines has been, a team of them had been battling orcs for 328 consecutive hours without sleep.
And do the orcs need to sleep?
They probably just die, to be honest. They sleep when they're dead. Ah, no pity. He's going to kill me. Oh, get him. Get stuck in.
I love that.
Oh, I love the orcs. Next organ we'll go over here is the neutralizer. It's an organic decontamination chamber that's planted inside the chest cavity along with a lot of the other ones. And it is connected to the digestive system above your original stomach so that no actual digestion occurs in this organ. But it's capable of analyzing anything that the Space Marine eats, and including toxins, organic or chemical, and will resist most of the poisons that they can ingest, allowing them to go on to really hostile worlds and get nutrients from things that would normally kill you and I.
Out of all these organs so far, that's the one I want the most.
No kidding, hey?
Can you imagine how much you could drink at a party? Oh, it's bad that that's the first thing I thought of.
Get a super liver.
Yes.
Oh, man.
All right. This next organ here, the eighth organ, is the remembrancer or the omophagia. Man, I hope Vanessa doesn't listen to this. Friend's a doctor. She's going to tell me I'm telling all my medical words wrong.
Pronouncing but, everything wrong.
This one goes in your spine, and it becomes a component of your central nervous system. This enables the Space Marine to gather information in a survival or a tactical sense simply by eating other flesh.
Wait. What?
You heard me right. Space Marines, they can eat flesh and they can gain memories of whatever flesh that was alive had.
I don't know why that squicks me out so bad, but it does. That just sounds so like...
What is that? There were... the movie Cold Bodies. With the zombie love story where he can eat the brains and get the memories.
I thought you were going to talk about Dark Crystal and the dream sharing that they do.
No. Specifically in Cold Bodies, there's the zombies, they eat brains and then they get the memories and the emotions of the person that got it. And that's what turns them back from just heartless beasts to I guess big love monsters.
I'll have to watch that.
Nice. On another note about zombies there, it's the mutations in this gene over time have caused some of the chapters to have cravings for specific things. And so one of the chapters known as the Blood Angels sometimes have cravings for blood.
So like vampires, but not...
Space vampires.
Space vampires.
Just put the word space in front of everything.
Yeah, that automatically makes everything sound cooler.
Vampires in space.
Space.
Where nobody can hear you scream.
Nice. The next one is a third lung that is able to give them the ability to breathe underwater. They can absorb oxygen from really shitty environments that our normal lungs are just terrible at. They can live in Vancouver.
Oh, don't at me, Vancouver. I was about to ask you where they fit all these organs, but then I remembered that you told me that they're 9 feet tall, so they probably have a bunch of extra space to fit all these organs.
Yeah, as their body grows and develops, I mean, proportional, right? But a lot of these go in small and then grow into them. So they all find their own right spot to sit in. The apothecaries and the servitors who serve the Space Marine chapters are also highly, highly skilled. Technically from a separate division than the Space Marines in the Imperium, they're... Space Marines will be an Adeptus Astartes, and then the servitors and mechanics and stuff, they're known as the Adeptus Mechanicus, and they follow the Machine God, which is a whole nother segment about ancient technology that was human-derived and is now lost and has become a huge machine cult, and there's a machine spirit that you have to worship, and it's very... It's very culty, but in the eyes of 40,000 years in the future where there's nothing but war, you have to look at what works and who to look at.
Oh my God, is that why it's called Warhammer 40K? Because it's war 40,000 years in the future?
Yeah, it's set in the year 40,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not put those two things together until right this second.
Oh, boy. So the next one here we got is the Lyman's Ear. It's a seed organ implanted that renders Space Marine immune to the dizziness and emotions-induced nausea, which I would kill for.
I need that. I need
it. Terribly seasick.
aren't you working on the sea right now?
Yep.
Oh, Lord. Oh, no. You poor thing.
That comes in waves.
Oh, well, haha. I see what you did there, because the waves.
It also makes them really resistant to white noise, allowing them to focus more in combat or on the communications channel and other types of sonic attacks. Next implantation here, number 12, is a membrane called the hibernator. It allows the Marine to enter a catatonic or suspended animation state and is implanted in their brain. This has gone on record to have Space Marines with fatal injuries essentially cryo-freeze themselves in suspended animation for hundreds of years until someone has come by with the right procedure in order to heal them and wake them up.
What? It's
Yeah. So you can imagine with the investment that we're putting into this guy, we want to give him something that if he's hurt, we want to be able to heal him. And if we can't get him somewhere because you're on some jungle planet and, you know, acid rain has eaten all of your spaceships and you can't get back up, we got to have something to keep these guys from dying.
Yeah. That's a valuable asset that you've poured a lot of money into and you don't want it to go to waste right away.
These soldiers are worth hundreds to thousands of regular humans.
Wow. Okay, I have a question. I know you're on 12 out of 18 of your implants, and I want to hear about the rest of them, but also, what kills a space marine? Because at this point, it sounds like they're invincible, and we're only, like, two-thirds of the way through... Wait, I can't do math. We're not even through all of the implants yet.
If you want to play space marines, they are invincible. Damn it, Chelsea. Nothing will kill your space marines.
Okay, but for real, like, does anything kill them?
Absolutely. There's a necessity to have all of these things put into someone to make them so strong, because what is out there is just that much worse and harder to fight.
Okay. So it's possible.
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. They are in the lore, they stand up a lot more than in the tabletop game because of, you know, level balancing for a tabletop game. But in the lore, a single space marine on a planet is not unheard of to take on suicide level threats that a normal company of Arnold Schwarzenegger's wouldn't be able to handle.
What about Chuck Norris?
I don't know. It'd have to be two Chuck Norrises, probably.
Whew, that's...
What if it's Bruce Lee?
That's infinite power.
Oh, man.
Okay, sorry to derail you there. I had to know.
No, it's all good. The next one's called the melanochrome, and it's linked to the endocrine system via the lymphatic system. And this organ alters the pigments of skin cells so that an Astartes can be shielded more from high levels of radiation. It can darken the skin in order to avoid this cancerous radiation cells from forming. And it can also dim to become pale to offer this level of flexibility for camouflage situations as well.
Whoa. Ooh. Cool.
Absolutely.
That's so cool. Oh,
chameleons.
Space chameleons.
Space octopus.
That joke is not going to get old. Space dolphins meet space chameleons. They combine together to create space marines in 3D.
Two brothers in a van. Next one here, number 14, is the a kidney, and it works in conjunction with some other word that I wrote down, and I don't know. But it assists in helping blood toxins be removed from the blood, and has been ingested or breathed into the body of the space marine.
So it's just a regular kidney.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Super kidney, because what happens is if an Astartes will receive an acid splash and say it's starting to get in. On the inside of the space marine system, he's got a gaping wound. This kidney will secrete chemicals that will render the Astartes unconscious once it begins in order to stop that sort of more manipulation of already internal organ damage so that it can heal him. And this, this kidney, it in a lot of ways acts as a regulatory system for the Space Marine's really advanced circulatory system and the functioning of his other organs. So it's like, it almost sounds like a second brain when you think about it, because it's like shutting down other organs and systems and like monitoring other systems. But it is a kidney.
That is an advanced kidney, that's for sure.
Come on, Chelsea. Space kidney.
Oh my God.
Don't worry, we'll get you indoctrinated. You'll become a good sister of battle in no time.
I want nothing more.
There's an implant that goes in the tongue of a space marine, in the mouth of the space marine, and it allows them to address a wide variety of things simply by tasting or smelling it. They can tell the chemical compositions, toxicity levels, and nutritional contents of foods.
What?
They can use this to track prey just by tasting or smelling the blood of something they're tracking. Much like canines.
That's like now, two different tools. That
it can do all of that, but let's just be honest here. It's probably just for like the heightened taste and like it licking ice cream real good.
Okay, that's not where I thought you were going with that, and I'm happy that that's the direction that went in.
We're a family-friendly podcast, Chelsea. Thank you.
Wait, you get your mind out of your gutter. I wasn't talking about that. I was obviously talking about chocolate ice cream.
Oh, I was thinking mint chocolate.
Ooh.
It's my favorite one. Also, it's green like orc skin, and that's my favorite.
I was thinking peach.
Peach.
Da-dunch. All right. So anyway.
We're having fun. All right, we're getting to the end here. There's the mucronoid, and this gene seed organ implant is with your nervous system, and it responds to specific chemical stimuli in the environment, causing the marine to secrete a waxy protein substance similar to mucus on through the pores on his skin, like where he would normally sweat, that seals him.
It's a like slimy boy. Slimy,
but think of it
boy.
Like a large moisture barrier, right? A waxy hard moisture barrier. This would be super helpful if you're, say, stuck in the vacuum of space, or deep underwater.
So he produces
or diving into lava or something.
So they produce their own spacesuit, basically.
Yes, on their skin if need
it's
be.
Like a frog, a space frog.
Yeah. this one I found really fun. It's they call it Betcher's gland, and it's two separate glands implanted into the inside of an Astarte's mouth, and it, in all senses, is extra salivary glands, and they secrete a corrosive acid when consciously triggered. Like, it's not just secreting acid all the time, but it allows them to chew out of barred like cells. It digs through acid, and they can use it to spit at their enemies and like blind them with their corrosive acid.
That's how I want to go out.
Huck
a nasty loogie.
A space nasty loogie.
Yeah.
The last implanted gene seed organ is the progenoid glands, and they go into the neck and the chest cavity, along with the rest of them mostly, and these reproductive gland cells serves to collect, gestate, and maintain the gene seeds from a marine's body. So it's like, just think about it like a little highly protected sac behind that fully fused chest bone that will, when this space marine is fully grown, after roughly 5 years of this plant in being implanted, an apothecary can go and grab it out and give it to a new space marine. I'm going to get hate for this one, but I think that's the only way that they've been able to continue making space marines is with genetic material made from other space marines.
There seems to be a lot of genetic modification going on in the Warhammer world.
Space sucks, man. Space is really hard. Why do you think we're still on Earth? Like, space sucks.
That's true.
Did you watch Rick and Morty? There's snakes in space. I got to just stay in the car.
Oh my goodness.
What do you mean there's snakes in space? There's literally everything in space. this last one, and is the most important of all of them, the black carapace is fused into the skin of the space marine, and it's neuroactive, fibrous, organic material that goes into the chest area and the skins of the hardened shell-like rib cage of the Astartes, and these fiber bundles serve as connectors that grow inward from the implant and then interlink with the space marine's central nervous system. These points that are pre-cut into the carapace before its implantation effectively serve as connection points between the Space Marine and his suit of power armor. So when a Space Marine dons his power armor, that suit is linked neurologically with them, and it acts like part of their body. So it's not like you step into a suit of armor. It's like you are the suit of armor when you are a Space Marine.
Like an armadillo. A space armadillo. I did it.
My man, let's go. That's all the general implantations that a Space Marine goes through. I hope you got all that written down, because you seem like pretty good candidates.
You're going to test us later?
Oh, God. It's a good thing we're recording, because if you're going to test me on this later, I'm going to have to listen to this a few times.
Oh, well, that put us pretty much at episode's end, but I've just got to ask one of my favorite questions that I have here, and that is, how many Space Marines does it take to change a light bulb, and how many are there exactly?
One, because he could reach it by himself.
Oh, that's so true.
Yes, but does he know his lefty loosies, his righty tighties and lefty loosies?
I'm sure that if not, he'd be highly receptive to simple instruction.
That was one of my questions, is like, are they intelligent still? Like, they have all these mods and buffs and stuff, but are they like...
Highly, highly intelligent.
Really?
Highly intelligent, absolutely. From the day that they're taken into being a recruit through the neophyte process of receiving the organs and then becoming a fully fledged battle brother, they are going through rigorous daily training, physical, mental, tactical, but they're definitely skipping humanities class, but they're going through all of the battle classes, right? Like, they're going to start learning about tactics and, you know, how to the other races' weaknesses and, you know, series of government or whatever the mission may be. They are, in all essence, the best that we could ever be as a human being in mankind's history. They're the pinnacle of a life form for humans is a Space Marine.
I want to be a Space Marine. How are they balanced? I guess
physically or game?
I like in the game, yeah. I guess I'm thinking of like D&D where, you know, like you can't have like super powerful stuff in all six of your categories, otherwise you're just like an unbalanced character. It's not really fair.
Typically, like the way the game goes is everyone's got a value to them. So now a Space Marine will always have a high value to them. So when you are setting up a game with some friends and say, let's just do simple math here, 1,000 points, and a Space Marine's worth 100 points. Now an orc may be worth 15 points, right? So when you both reach your limit of 1,000, that's the balance of how they get the game to work. Is that because a Space Marine is so strong, it's so much better than an orc would be, you get far less of them.
Oh, like chess.
Yes.
Like your
space chess.
Oh my, I can't believe I didn't think to say that. Okay. Okay.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, tragically, we are out of time to keep talking about Warhammer, but to our listeners out there, if you want to have Colin back for a part 3, you should let us know what you want him to talk about, because I'm sure we could talk about Warhammer for days and days, or maybe, you know, Colin should start his own podcast about Warhammer, so let us know on Instagram or Facebook what he should talk about, and
we should absolutely have a recording session where eventually Colin just runs us through a session of Warhammer.
And we should get it on film too. Yeah.
Yeah.
put it on a YouTube channel and we'll show people how to set up a game of Warhammer, because I feel like we're really going to need a visual for that.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a couple of really good resources that I know of for that have a fairly decent production value, and they're really smart about how the game works. So
right.
I can definitely answer those questions for you in the future. For you listeners, I would really like to talk about the warp next. It's really the system that separates this world universe from like other fantasy genres. So it would be super fascinating to be able to explain that to everybody.
Well, Colin, get to talk to us about the warp, join us for part 3 on Arcana Archives. And that's another one for the archives. Wait, Colin, just say it.
Oh, that's another one for the archives. Let's go get stuck in, boys.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Arcana Archives, an exploration into nerddom.
If you have any questions or suggestions for future topics or guests, please reach out to us at arcanacollective.archives@gmail.com.
Or follow us on Facebook or Instagram with the username @arcanaarchives.
Hope to see you again.